Welcome to episode 2 of Almost Awesome Esports. I am your host, Taryn, joined alongside Ben again this week.
How you doing?
This week's music was brought to us by DJ Brad. A link to his original song will be in the description. With that out of the way, let's get into the goodness of this week's gaming news. Ben, you have a quick roundup for us in the 1 minute quickie?
All right, this week we're starting a new segment called the 1 minute quickie, where I'm going to try and fit in as much news as I can into one small minute. We got Team Celestial sits on the top of Hearthstone Team Story competition after 8 weeks with a 7-1. Followed by Tong Fu with a 5-3 record. VC Gaming and Newbie sit at the bottom with a 2-6 record. ESL and ESEA NA, Liquid, Luminosity, Conquest, and CLG move into the LAN finals to compete against Europe's top four, TSM, Fnatic, Navi, and Envious. Team Liquid win Heroes of the Storm, Fragbite Masters 2-3 reserve sweep versus Fnatic. Team Spartanian took out third place by beating Dignitas. Now we have that one pulled out, it's time for international e-news.
Beautiful. Let's get into some of the major gaming news for the week. So, final voting has finished on the League of Legends All-Stars team. We have Team Fire, which has the LCK All-Stars, the LMS All-Stars, and the NALCS All-Stars, going up against Team Ice, which has the EU LCS All-Stars, International Wildcard All-Stars, and LPL All-Stars. There's been a few major movements in League of Legends. We have Bunny Fufu and Rush joining C9. Unicorn to Love add Steelback as ADC, Fox in mid, and Gilius to jungle. This was the team that played at Intel Extreme Masters this week, and we'll go through their results shortly. Dignitas put together their complete new team with Smitty J, Kirai, and Apollo. Team Coast, you might know Team Coast. They're one of the teams that came into the LCS through the promotion tournament. Their spot has actually been bought out by a new team, known as NRG. Any thoughts on this one?
I can't really put too much onto it, as I have not followed it in depth so far, but it looks like it's going to be a fairly interesting move on their behalf.
Yeah, they've got a really good team. They've got GBM coming from Jhinnia Greenwings coming over. They've got Moon, Conquan, Altec, and Impact. That makes up their full team. I don't know how I feel, though, about a team just being able to, you know, you have a team battle their way through the Challenger Series and then just have their spot bought off them. To me, that seems a little... Eh.
It's going to be a real emotional kind of thing where they're going to have to get their real head in the game and focus on the objective, because even though they've been through all of that, only for it to be taken off them in just a click of a finger, they just need to pull their heads together and come through with it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll form a new team, and we will see them all back in the Challenger scene soonish. MLG is actually hosting their first CSGO Major next year, which is rather interesting, as it's in the same week as the ESL 1, I believe, one of the ESL events, which used to be a Major. So that one's been taken off them and given to MLG, which should be interesting. And finally, DreamHack. The DreamHack Winter, the groups have been announced. So in Group A, we have Virtus Pro, Team Liquid, TSM, and Legacy Esports. And in Group B, we have Envious, Luminosity, Fnatic, and NIP. With this major news out of the way, let's take a look at some of the major League of Legends changes in Season 6.
Okay, as a lot of League of Legends players would know, and for people that don't play League of Legends, it actually has been fairly big news lately. Season 6 changes have just started rolling in. We have the ADC carries, major buff reworks. They're going to be the main focus this season for now. We kind of did see Season 6 start off with our Juggernaut updates, bringing in Juggernauts that were overly powered, and it seemed like the end of things, but now with the ADC buffs coming through, it kind of evens out the playing field once again, making the AD carry role more prioritized than before. Let's have a look at some just your base core gameplay features right now. We've got starting gold is now 500. We've got your minion spawns are 15 seconds earlier. So that's going to really start affecting how the game starts off. I mean, you've got 15 seconds less time to make invades, as well as if you do invade, it's a 50-50 chance. I mean, what if that invade was not successful? Do you go back with your ADC and support? Do you ask them to leash? Do you just try and solo the camps? It's going to really put more stress on the junglers whether to make plays or play safe. Rift Herald is a stunning buff available until 1945 if not being attacked, or 1955 until being attacked. It kind of brings more play to the top side now because we always had your dragon buff down the bot, which you could always pull in mid lane and your ADC and support, your jungler, but then you had the top lane always left out. So it's great now that we're bringing in more play to the top side. So it's more work for the jungler, it's more work for the top lane as well because fair enough, you can let it sit there, but at the same time, it's available to not only your top laner, it's available to your mid laner, it's available to your jungler.
Yeah.
It can be available to your AD carry support, but that requires them to shift all the way up there, and that leaves Dragon available. So it's going to bring a lot more play into the game now.
It'll make things like lane swaps a lot more interesting as well, you know? Whether or not a lane swap occurs where the jungle actually puts the most pressure, like whether they prioritize the Herald or the Dragon and that sort of thing.
Well, the Herald's going to be more laning phase, if anything, where Dragons is more of a buff leading into late game. With the Herald, it's practically think of a Baron buff, but prioritized to one player. And we're going to see a lot of lane pushing focused with the Rift Herald because, like I said, it's a Baron buff on one person. You're going to get someone who's going to snowball, they're going to prioritize that buff to them. And they're just going to completely demolish whatever lane that they're going to try and snowball. And that's going to cause junglers, mid laners to either head top, bot, wherever that lane is getting pushed. Okay, now if we have a look at our items, here's another thing. A lot of items have been removed, which people are not too happy about. We've got the Avarice Blade, the Crystalline Flask, Elixir of Ruin, and Mana Potions.
No.
Yeah, no, mana potions rip mid AP carries. Poacher's Knife for the junglers, you got your Ranger's Trailblazers for the boots, Stealth Wards are gone, Swords of the Oculus
Oh.
is gone, and the Brutalizer is gone, Twitter Shadows and Zephyr. So a lot of items have been removed, but to balance that out, we have new items coming in. We've got reworks of current items at the moment still in happening. Warding changes. So, like mentioned before, stealth wards are gone, so only your vision wards are now available, and the prices have been reduced, which makes warding more efficient now because before it was really up to the support and the jungler to ward, but now it's literally that cheap that anyone could ward, and it's going to be a real map vision focused game now. So, we've got removal of the sight wards, we've got changes to trinkets coming in. More buffs coming to trinkets. Like I said, it's going to be a real vision orientated game now, as well as the automatic upgrades coming in late game. We got the potion price increase, which is your main pots, and a lot of people are not happy with that because we've gone from a 25 gold point to now a 50, which a lot of people can't afford on top of their items now. So it's really, you see maybe one pot entering lane instead of two or three, which you usually would pre-season six changes. And also another thing when it comes to the base is we got a new mastery system once again. We saw, I think it was around season three, season four, a change to the masteries, which was the norm up until now, where they've pretty much wiped half of it. And it's really at AP or AD, you got. It's either one or the other kind of choice happening here when you look at it. You can still do the whole 30 points kind of thing, but yeah, it's really AP versus AD when you come to this. It's a hybrid being real pushed away because you can't select two, so to speak.
Two on the one line.
Two on the one line.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting setup the way they've got it. Essentially, you've seen the new system, yeah?
Yeah, I've seen a new system. I'm still trialing at the moment. Very
Yeah.
frustrated with it.
Yeah, it's very confusing, but essentially what you've got is you've got two different sets of lines. So you've got a top line where you have two options and you have to have 5 points in that in those between those two to go down to the next line. And then in the next line, you can only pick one of those two buffs. And then you get down to the bottom of a, I'm going to call them a class of masteries, where you have three set buffs, and you can pick one of those, and that's it. So I think a maximum points you can have in one is 18.
18 points in one. It's still the main setup as it was before. You got your ferocity, which is your offensive. You got cunning, which is your defensive, so to speak. And you got resolve, which is more your support line. Every second row is a 50-50 kind of thing. So you can either have one or the other. And depending on what champion you play, what position you run, it really affects it, where you could usually, with a lot of champions, run like a full 30 offensive and it would work. But now that you can't run a full 30 offensive, you have to split it up. It's going to really change how people play styles work.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of changes that need to be made, though. Like, for example, I think one of the last ones at the bottom of the ferocity, the attack one?
Yep.
Yeah, you give the crit strike to the Tryndamere, or pretty much any melee champion like Yi, and all you do, you build a Devourer and a Ginsu's Rageblade, and you just absolutely wreck face. Like, you're unstoppable.
So that's the Warlord's Bloodlust, where your critical strike on enemy champions heal you for 15% of the damage dealt and grant you 20% attack speed for 4 seconds with a 2-second cooldown.
That's the one. It's extremely powerful.
So yeah, with how this is running, as well as the new item changes, we're going to see a lot of 100% crit builds coming through. Especially with the new ADC revamp as well. A lot of crit-orientated champions are going to come through, and it's just going to be a big clusterfuck.
It will definitely be. Have you played any of the new ADCs yet?
Matter of fact, I just brought the ADC pack just before, and I would say they are still very overpowered, but as we speak, there's constant buffs, nerfs coming left, right, and center. So until Season 6 starts as of next year, we can't really say for sure how well it's going to play. I personally like how they've gone with it. I like the new Graves rework. I like the new Quinn rework, especially for ult. I only played it once or twice before, and I wasn't a big fan of it, but now her play style is a lot more ongoing, fast-paced, which is a big change-up. Because like they mentioned, with the revamp to the characters, they took six who had a similar play style, and pretty much they just gave them all their more individual go to it.
Split them all up, yeah. Made them all different.
All right, so with that over and done with, let's run around to the championships and the rest.
Yeah, so other than the news we had at the start there, we've had a few major competitions go on in the last week. Probably the most relevant one here is the Dota 2 Frankfurt Major. So we ended up having Team OG defeat Team Secret in the final 3-1 to take home the first major event since the International. Team Secret made their way to the final through the upper bracket by defeating Minseki in round 1, Vici Evil Geniuses, Vici Gaming in round 2, and Evil Geniuses in round 3. OG had to take the long route by fighting their way through the lower bracket. Ended up in quite a few more games. They had to beat Fnatic, Minseki, Virtus Pro, CDEC, eHome, and Evil Geniuses. So, quite a few games there. The winners of the International, Evil Geniuses, took home third, with eHome taking home fourth. What else have we got? We've also got the Smite Super Regionals. We had the NA. Within the NA competition, we had Cloud9 taking home the competition with Enemy coming in second. Eager took home third with Envious coming fourth. TSM taking fifth and Cognitive coming last. Within EU, we had Paradigm taking home the competition with Epsilon taking second. Fnatic taking third. London Conspiracy fourth. Dignitas 5th and Titan 6th. Within the wildcard, we had the winner of the third place match, I should say, taking each other on, where we had Fnatic defeat Eager 2-0. Over in Counter-Strike, we had the RGN Pro Series Championship, where we had Cloud9 versus Renegades in the grand final. This was essentially a best of three, but because Cloud9 had won their way through the upper brackets, they started with a 1-0 point 1-0 benefit. Renegades went on to lose the next series to lose the game 2-0. However, on their way to the final, they upset both Luminosity and Liquid in the lower bracket, which shows massive resilience considering they had only lost to Luminosity a few days ago, 16-0, which is quite a harsh loss in CSGO.
That is a harsh loss. Coming in through CSGO, 16-0, not once did they show over. It showed that Luminosity was on their game at all times, pushing through and just not slipping up, not giving out any opportunities for them to dominate, to punish. And, well, as the 16-0 shows, it worked out.
Yeah, for sure. We had another CSGO competition, though. We also had the third leg of Intel's Extreme Masters, with Shenzhen being the first, which had Heroes of the Storm and StarCraft II, and Gamescom a few months ago having StarCraft II and CSGO down there. San Jose had both a Counter-Strike and a League of Legends competition. Within the CSGO competition, we had Na'Vi taking out the tournament against TSM 2-0 in the final. And in League of Legends, we had Origin beating CLG 3-0 in the final. Whoever lost the first one never actually won a game. So all the series were either 2-0 or 3-0 scoreline.
It pretty much showed who was on top of their game that day and who was not.
Pretty much, it just shows with a lot of teams like Unicorns of Love, CLG, TSM, and even Origin to some degree, all bringing in new rosters, just shows the power of confidence and...
I'd say changing things up.
Yeah, for sure.
Because time in, time out, with the same roster, you're going to have scouts looking at how they play, how they work as a team, and you're going to pick out faults, you're going to pick out who they main, who they don't main, and throwing in some new, fresh faces really changes it up a bit. You really don't know how to approach them going into that game.
Yeah, definitely. But you've also got the problem where you have, with teams like TSM, where they've changed four separate players.
out of the five original.
Yeah, so they've essentially got a whole new team and they've been playing together for, I think, just over a week. The other team may not know what they're doing, but either will they. So, it's definitely a major issue. But I believe this was played on patch 5.21, so just before preseason. So we didn't actually see any of the new changes played on the patch, which was disappointing to me.
Well, it would have been over in 15 minutes if that was the case. The snowballing would have been hectic.
Yeah. I mean, if we just go back to that for a second, some of the Season 6 changes. Have you noticed that games are actually finishing really, really quickly?
I have, actually. We're pushing really early into the 20-minute marks instead of dragging out to 30. It still is, at the moment, a average of 30 minutes because I've played my fair share of games on the new patches. I've gone around 40 to 45 minutes. But that really just shows like the real reworks of everything. Once into late game, anyone can do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I very rarely have a game that goes longer than 30 minutes. Maybe that's just because I seem to play Yi a lot, get fed, and... wreck face.
And but that's another thing with the critical strike build. With a crit build Yi, it's near unstoppable. Unless you've got a full tanky team, if you're just going squishy assassins, he's just going to queue to pentakill. That's pretty much how it's going to go down.
It's not just Yi, though. It's pretty much every melee champion. You see Jax, you know. With Rageblade double stacking for melee hits, you get Jax with 2.5 attack speed coming in. Bang, 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 bang. Absolutely wrecks face. Tryndamere does the same thing.
Tryndamere's base damage is through the roof at the moment. It doesn't help with his ultimate being slightly buffed at the moment, I'm pretty sure I've seen. Don't hold me to it. It might be an old patch I'm looking at.
Jesus, he doesn't need a buff. What are they doing? Righto, please.
Well, like they said, they're going to make the new Season 6 a real snowballing game, but at the same time, slip up and give the opportunity to the enemy team, they can reverse that just as quick.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd like. I don't know if I like that or not, though. You know, if one team gets ahead, you want there to be an opportunity to come back, not just continue snowballing.
Well, they have mentioned this with the Season 6. To whoever is snowballing the most, their minions and towers will actually become weaker. So if they do not continue with the snowball and they hold up and try and play out for as long as they can, they're only giving the enemy team a chance to actually push back and snowball in the complete opposite direction.
Oh, I didn't actually read that part.
Yeah, it was actually if you go to Riot Games YouTube, you'll see a debrief of the whole new season 6 and their approach to going through. It's worth a check.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that's what I like about other sort of esports games like Counter-Strike as opposed to League of Legends, where even though one player may buy themselves a $5,700 Negev, someone with the default spawning P2000 is still able to kill them. So just because one team snowballed, they have momentum, but a simple pistol shot to the head still kills them and completely reverses it in an instant.
See, with games such as CSGO, it's not exactly how the game works. It's the individual player itself. CS is really one of the most balanced franchises coming out there
Oh, for
when you're
sure.
coming to competitive gaming. And you'll see it's really down to the individual. Like, there is a lot of good teams out there, but really, if you can't shoot or you know how that physics of that game works, you're not going to go far.
Oh, for sure. It's all about the shot. We saw that in at IEM San Jose this week, where Envy and I can't remember the game, Envy and Liquid, it went to overtime, and Na'Vi's AWP, Guardian, was standing there waiting to shoot through a door that the enemy usually comes through. The door opened, someone walked out, he shot, and realized, oh shit, he headshotted his teammate. So in overtime, that's not quite what you want to do, but that's just
How it goes.
as you said, it's all just based on, the
The
player.
individual.
And the player's obviously used to enemies coming out of that door time and time again. They don't expect their teammate to do it, so they just, bang. And what happened? What do you do?
With high tier players like that, that's something that you wouldn't see happen on a regular basis. Coming into your normal games, sure, that happens a lot. But with a high tier team such as that, you wouldn't see that because of the fact they got teamwork, they've got call outs, they've got all that notification. So how that actually happened has got me fondled. Maybe it's reaction, maybe it's muscle memory, maybe it's just instinct. Who knows?
I don't know, I found that rather funny, but something else I found funny was the play of the week this week.
Yes, coming to the Player Week, it's another segment we are bringing into the Almost Awesome Esports podcast, where at the end we're going to just wrap up something that's worth mentioning. And this week it's Mark Human before League of Legends game. He was fined $15,000 for dropping the F-bomb live on stream. All money goes to the charity Cyber Smiles. And when he was asked about his response was, so if I say it again, I would have to pay another 15K. And well, the announcer says, well, that would bump it up to a total of 30. And within a split second, he didn't have to think about it. He's gone, well, fuck it. There we are.
Oh, that's beautiful. I wish I had 30K. I could just, throw away like that.
Oh, no, it would be great, wouldn't it? So, with that play of the week, we will leave a link in the description for you who want to check it out and see it. It is worth looking at, it's quite funny.
We will indeed. But I think that brings us pretty close to the end of the show. Ben, where can we find you?
Once again, same thing. You can find me on League of Legends OCE servers at WhiteRavenX, or you can just find me on Twitter at Synchro with an underscore at the end. How about you, Tyron? Where can we find you?
You can find me on League of Legends at Taboo, TABBOO1108. You can find me on Twitter at TaronOwens108. My Steam name has now changed to Mr. Inconsistent, which defines my Counter-Strike play. Also, feel free to join us in our Facebook group at Almost Awesome Esports. That about wraps us up, I think. Any final words?
Nothing at the moment. We are looking for some special guests to come onto our show. So if you are into esports and you don't mind talking on our show, please send us a message. We would love to get in contact with you and bring you onto the show.
Yeah, for sure. We need definitely more than just our two voices talking on here for half an hour or so each week. With that out of the way, I think we'll leave you with another clip of DJ Brad's latest music. See ya.
So yeah, thank you for tuning in to episode 2 of Awesome Esports, and we'll see you next week. teams, but Spartanian, fucking Spartan and Spartanian. Is that right?
That's the one.
Spartanian. Dignitas. Fucking hell. Dignitas. I need to fucking learn how to speak English again.